This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.MuslimCentral.com/donate. This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.MuslimCentral.com/donate. This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.MuslimCentral.com/donate. This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.MuslimCentral.com/donate.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Salawatullahi, Wasalamu ala Nabihi al Kareem, Alayhi Afdal Salatu wa Atamu Taslim, Rabbishrahli Sadri wa Yasirli Amri wa Ahlul Uqdatan min Lisani Afqahu Qawli. My brothers and my sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It is Sunday, June 20th, 2021. What's coming up? Summer. Summer's coming up. Weather is nice and warm, alhamdulillah. But in addition to that, we also will see Eid al-Adha very soon, inshallah ta'ala. So that's, you know, something nice to look forward to. Today, inshallah ta'ala, for our essential fiqh class, we're going to be continuing the chapter of business transactions. And inshallah, the following class, we should end this chapter and then begin the chapter on taking an oath, okay? So taking an oath, like when you say wallahi, you know, swearing vows and stuff like that. So inshallah, that will be next class. Now, next class will not be next Sunday, okay, Idris bhai? Next class will be the following Sunday. So next Sunday, we will not have our essential fiqh class. So for anyone who is attending now and knows someone who usually attends, just let them know, inshallah ta'ala. I will not be doing the class next Sunday. And also next Friday as well, we will not have... That's that little dog who lives across the street. So, inshallah tabarakallah. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. So next Sunday, we won't have the Essential Fit class, and the following next Friday as well, I will not be live streaming Jum'ah, and I will not be doing the Friday night family program, inshallah. Okay? So I will take a few days off, inshallah. And so we'll come back at it the following week. I'll put a message out when we are resuming. So basically, just next weekend, we won't have any of our online classes. All right, so for today, we're going to be looking at gift giving. Okay, gift giving. Is it something that's permissible, encouraged? What is the reward within Islam? Let's look at some of the examples that we find. So gift giving, or giving a gift, is where during one's lifetime, so during your lifetime or my lifetime, during one's lifetime, a person gives the ownership of a part of their wealth to another person for nothing in return. Okay, so that's a definition of gift giving. Okay, you're giving something throughout your lifetime to another person, and that thing belongs to you. It has some value to it, right? Some sort of wealth. It could be wealth of, you know, an item or an actual piece of gold or silver or, you know, some money that you give to someone else in exchange for nothing. Okay, in exchange for nothing. And that item becomes theirs, and it's no longer yours, okay? Encouragement to give gifts. We see that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in a hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, where he reports that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "O Muslim women," okay? In this narration, he refers to the women. So I don't want sisters to think, oh, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is only telling us to be generous. But one thing that's really interesting is that When we usually do fundraisers, you'll find that a lot of the time it's the men and the brothers that are giving the wealth. And that is probably primarily because brothers or husbands are the ones who earn for the family. Despite the fact that a wife may be working or a sister may be working and has her own wealth, it's his responsibility to financially look after the family. And so therefore, what we find at some fundraising dinners or fundraising events or just general donations is that the funds, the wealth that is usually given, donated, is coming from the men. So interestingly here, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "O Muslim women, do not belittle the gift sent by a neighbor, even if it is the hoof of a lamb." He also narrated, as in Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, also narrated that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Give gifts to one another and you will love one another." Tahaddu, tahaddu, tahabbu, right? Tahaddu, tahabbu. So give gifts to one another and you will develop love between yourselves for each other. Now, of course, when we say love, we mean love for that human being, not love in the sexual sense. We're talking about love that is pure and for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we love this person for the sake of Allah because of what they may have done or shown in terms of their generosity. And again, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam encourages, if you're receiving something, even if it's small, criticize the person who's sending you a meal, even if that meal is simply, a cooked piece of the hoof of a lamb, which is nothing. The point there is that it's insignificant, as in there's not much meat on it to begin with, right? So there's not much to eat, right? And it's probably one of the parts of the animal that most people would not even touch in terms of eating anything off of, right? I know when it comes to cows, especially in the Desi culture, Indian Pakistani culture, you have paya and everyone just goes nuts for it. Or goes crazy, to eat it. And for some reason, it's like an awesome delicacy that I've never tried and never plan on trying. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep me away from ever having to try that. But see, that's the point, is that, you don't disregard it, but it's something that you may not even like, you may not appreciate, you may not cherish. You may think like, wow, you gave us the hoof of a sheep. Like, there's no meat on it, and it's a dirty part of the animal because it walks outside on the ground, right? It's like giving someone their slipper. But, alhamdulillah, receive it and accept it. So that's the advice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Do not belittle that act, and do not criticize. Do not backbite the person that gives that gift. We see another hadith under the heading of accepting the smallest of gifts. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and this is very similar to the previous hadith, "If I were invited to a meal consisting of the hoof of a lamb, I would accept that invitation. And if I were given the hoof of a lamb, I would accept the gift." Look at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his simplicity, but also showing us that, hey, you know what? Not everyone is at the same level. Some people may be giving you all of the food that they have in their possession. And at the time of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, it may simply be that hoof of a lamb, that little end piece of the leg of the lamb that has, like I said, hardly any meat on it. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "If I were invited to a meal consisting of the hoof of a lamb, I would accept it, because it's not about what you're going to be served." And sadly, what we see nowadays is that, especially when it comes to weddings, and now I know wedding season is slowly opening up. I've received like so many invitations to weddings already for this, the next few months. A lot of the time people will pick and choose the weddings that they go to because they know the food will be good, right? Or if there's two weddings in a day, they'll say, "I'm going to go to that wedding and eat, and this wedding just to attend, because I know that I'm going to get better food at that wedding," right? And that's not the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he says, once again, in the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, if I were invited to a meal consisting of the hoof of a lamb, I would accept that invitation. And if I were given the hoof of a lamb, I would accept that gift. Okay, so if he was invited and served that, he would still accept it. And if he was given a gift that, he would accept it. Okay? Allah yubarak fik shabaz. You know what? A lot of people call me and invite me to weddings. And weddings is one of those things that I just... Some of you know, right? Idris Bhai, you might know, right? It's one of the things that I just don't... I don't jump for joy when I'm invited to a wedding. Not that I'm not happy for the people. I'm really happy for the people. But I'm just really not happy with how many hours in the day a wedding takes. Because it just takes so long just to have the food served. Everyone's like, when is the food coming? When is the food coming? And people will literally wait until they receive a text message and say, the food is going to be served in 30 minutes. And then they'll start coming over to the weddings. SubhanAllah. All right, we move on. Gifts that should not be refused. Okay. Azra ibn Thabit said, I went to Thumama ibn Abdullah. He gave me some perfume and said that Anas would never refuse a gift of perfume. He also said that the Prophet ﷺ would not refuse a gift of perfume. So, what is perfume? Simply applying some perfume on someone. Right, and of course nowadays it's COVID season still, so remember, we're trying to avoid physical contact with numerous people, right, and trying to avoid physical contact in general. So my advice again to my brothers and sisters, if you have, see, this is a small bottle of perfume, this is Creed Royal Oud. Okay, very, very nice. Now, just this amount, the Prophet ﷺ would not refuse. Just this amount. And in fact, it's a very small bottle. It's just a little bit in there. I don't know if you can see that. Right? It's just a little bit in there. See? But it's a very nice, very beautiful perfume. This was sent to me in the mail by a friend of mine in Vancouver. This small little amount, the Prophet ﷺ would not refuse. Even if a gift was this small, and it's not even this small, technically it's smaller, it's that amount, you can't even really see it, just that line there, right? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would not refuse. Someone's giving you something, they're sharing something with you, don't refuse it, accept it. Okay, yes, Shabazz, it probably is a little expensive. Alhamdulillah, small. You know, great things come in smalls, right? Small amounts. Alhamdulillah. But this is an example of how Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would not refuse something that was being given to him as a gift. What do we learn from that? We learn that when someone is giving us something, okay, we shouldn't refuse it. Even if we don't need it, or we might feel bad that the person who's giving it to us is giving it to us. They might be more deserving of it and need it more than we do. Now, I'll give you an example. If you go to, and I've traveled to many countries around the world. If you go to Africa, go to Kenya, go to Nigeria, go to South Africa, go to some of these countries where there's extreme poverty. And when I say extreme poverty, I don't mean just living on the streets. I mean extreme poverty. Like, you don't even have the option of going into a Tim Hortons to use the bathroom. You don't even have the option to go into a Tim Hortons, if you're homeless, to wash your hands, right? Or to relieve yourself. Extreme poverty. And you go and you sit with some of these people. And they will look around their home, whatever they have, even if it's a small piece of bread, and they will give you a morsel or the entire amount of bread. That was the way the Sahaba radiallahu anhum were. And that was because they saw that that was how the house of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam operated. Aisha radiallahu anha, in a narration, she had three dates with her, right? She had three dates at home. And she was keeping those dates for when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came home, they would share those dates, her and him, and that would be their dinner. That would be what they eat for supper. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he comes home, Aisha radiallahu anha says, "You know what happened today? A mother came to our home with her two children, and they were hungry. They were looking for food. So I gave them each a date." She had three dates. Three people came, a mother and her two children. She gave them the three dates. Each of them got one date. The two children immediately took those dates and ate it. They were so hungry, they ate it right away. The mother saw that the two children were still hungry and they were asking for more food. So she took her date and she broke it in half. And she gave half to one child and half to the other child. And then the Prophet ﷺ mentions that famous statement of how a person will earn their paradise even with shikkut tamara. Right? Shikkut tamara is a piece, a morsel of the date. Half of the date. A piece of the date. Not even the whole date. A piece of date. A person will earn their paradise even with the sadaqah that they give, that's a morsel of a date or a piece of a date. Allahu Akbar. So never underestimate the sadaqah that's being done to you. Now, when we receive a gift, when someone is giving us something, it's a sadaqah. I know many of us were like, oh, we can't receive sadaqah, you know, we can't receive charity. We're Sayyids, we're from the family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look, my brothers and sisters, a gift is a gift for you and a sadaqah for the person giving it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards them for their generosity in giving you a gift by considering that a sadaqah for them. For you, it's not an act of charity that you're receiving charity. Don't think of it as I'm receiving charity, I'm begging and I'm in need. No. What's meant here is that someone or people are being generous and giving to you a gift. And you receive the gift. You don't reject the gift. Remember, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, even if it was the hoof of a lamb, he would not reject it, right? He would accept the gift. So here, in this example, Anas radiallahu anhu narrates that, Thumama ibn Abdullah says that Anas would never refuse a gift of perfume, and he said that the Prophet ﷺ would not refuse a gift of perfume. And what is that? A simple little dab of scent. Allahu Akbar. Smells nice. Right? Alhamdulillah. One of the best gifts that we can give to someone is perfume. For someone who likes it. And one of the best gifts that we can give to someone else is time. And one of the best gifts that we can give to someone else may be jewelry, right? Maybe someone likes jewelry. One of the best gifts that we can give to someone else could be a smile. One of the best gifts that we can give to someone else could be simply asking them how they are doing throughout their day. You know, we don't do that enough. Shahbaz knows. I was talking to him the other day about this, and I gave him an example that I will not share with any of you. Right? An example of how we need to reach out to people more often and ask them how they're doing. Ask people, how are you? How's your day going? How are things? How's it been throughout this week? Are you doing well? Right? Reach out to people. That in itself is a gift that you give to someone who's in need of it. The person who needs that. You may come and give someone a car. Here's the keys to your new car. And they don't care about the car. And you're thinking, but it's a car. Do you know how much it costs? I had to work this amount of hours and I had to do all of this in order to give you this car. And they're like, I really don't care about the car. A person may want a hug. And that hug is more valuable to them than the car. A person may want, you know, some of your time. A person may cherish simply having a coffee with you. Or a tea. Or chai. Or some biscuits. Or cookies. Or rusk. Cake rusk. It's so simple. It's so simple. But the point is that we need to share gifts more often. And remember, gifts are of various different sorts. Gifts are not only you know, something of physical, tangible wealth. Dua as well. Yes, someone just mentioned it. Can dua be considered a gift? Yes, make dua for someone. Right? People say, you know, you see someone who's looking down, you know, for example, you know, a young brother I see in the masjid all the time, miskeen, he really wants to get married, and he's like, never knows who's he going to get married to, when he's going to get married. Every time I see him, I make dua for him to get married. It makes him feel so good. Alhamdulillah, you know, someone's making dua for me to get married. Right? So, you know, a gift can be of all different sorts and kinds. And remember, the Prophet ﷺ encourages us, tahaddu tahabbu. When you share gifts, spread gifts, give a gift to someone else, it develops love between us. And we come closer to each other for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In another narration about how gifts should not be refused, Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, pay attention to this one, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, three are not to be refused. Three things are not to be refused. What are these three things? A pillow, milk, and perfume. A pillow, milk, and perfume. Three things the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says should not be refused. Imagine receiving a pillow. How many times do we go over to someone's house and they're trying to give us a cushion to make us more comfortable? We're like, no, I'm okay, jazakallahu khairan. No, take the cushion, put it behind you. Oh, alhamdulillah. Make the person feel good. Make them feel like they are being hospitable to you to the point that you are cherishing every moment of it, even if it's making you uncomfortable. Even if you don't like it there and you don't want it behind you, right? And you know what? You could even, like, subhanAllah, when you're doing ikram towards others, like, fluff it up, right? So if they're fluffing it up for you, oh, mashallah, you know, can you fluff up the pillow for me like you did last time, right? Make them feel like, oh, last time I did a good job. They must really like it, right? So get them to fluff up the pillow for you even more. Milk, you know, if you're lactose intolerant, you can be honest. Right? You can receive it. You can take it and put it down. You may not want to drink it. Or you may share it with someone else. Give it to one of your children. Give it to someone in the family. Someone who's able to drink it. But milk at the time of the Prophet ﷺ was, you know, very special, very important to drink. It was not water, right? So it was something else other than water. How many times a day do we drink water? Now, I know for those of us that are, you know, looking after our health, we try to drink a certain amount of water every single day. But on average, you know, most people don't drink enough water, right? They just don't drink enough water. And what we see is that people will opt for a different drink throughout their day. They will opt for Coke, Pepsi, juice, right? Mango lassi, coffee, tea. We will drink so many other things throughout the day and try to stay away from water. Why? Well, water gets boring, right? So during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if they had the option to have some milk, alhamdulillah. Milk was like a meal. It has extra nutrients in it, came straight from the animal, especially the camel. Drink it, Allahu Akbar, right? Or from the sheep, you drink it, alhamdulillah, right? So consider the gift that's being given. But also when we're giving a gift, see, the advice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is three things are not to be rejected. From these three things is something that grants comfort to the body, something that grants nutrition to the body, and something that perfumes the outer appearance of the body as well. So we're looking after each other and trying to give to each other, right? Let's move on, insha'Allah ta'ala. Adequately reciprocating gifts. Aisha radiallahu anha said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to accept gifts and give something in return. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to accept gifts and give something in return. Someone gives you something, give them something as well. It doesn't have to be immediate. It could be later on. But consider that person as someone that you will share something with. Okay? And that's absolutely important. I've shared examples of, you know, things that I've experienced in life in many of the previous sessions. I'm not going to do that now. But I'm sure every single one of us has some sort of example that we can share with others, or we could think of ourselves in order to encourage us to continue to give gifts. In fact, today, subhanAllah, I was going somewhere. I had to meet, I knew that I was going to meet a brother just for literally 1 minute. And that brother had given me a gift in Hajj 2 years ago. Not last Hajj, because there was no Hajj last year for internationals, but the year before that. He bought me a bottle of perfume. And he said, you know what, Sheikh, I want you to wear this. You know, when people come to see you, when people come into your office, they should remember you by the smell of coming into your office and how you smell. And when you walk by them, and when they speak to you, and when they stop you on the streets asking a question, people should remember you by the smell as well, right? And so he brought me into the perfume store in Mecca, right in front of the Kaaba, or outside of Masjid al-Haram. And he asked me to choose. So we were going through it. He told me, this is the way he did it. He told me he wanted to buy perfume, okay? So he's like, Sheikh, you have, you know, I think you have good taste in perfume. Can you come with me and show me which perfumes are good? This is how we did it, right? So we go into the store and we're choosing perfume. And I'm like, well, you know, I have a certain style of perfume that I prefer for myself. But I know that a lot of people in Canada don't prefer oud, right? They don't prefer oud. So I like oud that's mixed with other types of perfumes so that you still get a little hint of the oud, but you get, you know, another sort of scent mixed in with it, right? Mukhallat. That's what we call it, mukhallat, something mixed in with it. So he's like, all right, show me what you like, right? So we're smelling it. I'm like, what about this? What about? I'm like, well, you choose. Like, it's your perfume. Don't buy something that I like. Buy what you like. He's like, no, I really like this. This is really good, mashallah. He's like, is this like a perfume that you would wear back home in Canada? I'm like, yeah, absolutely. I'd wear this in Canada. Like, this would be like my daily perfume. I would wear this every single day. And he's like, okay, alhamdulillah. And then he purchases, so he chooses a few different perfumes, a few others, and he purchases that one. And he was actually purchasing that one to give to me as a gift. So right there after he paid for it, he's like, here, Sheikh, this is for you. And I'm like, no, that's like, I was saying, mashallah, tabarakallah, this brother is, you know, spending a good amount of money on perfume, because these were like really, really nice perfumes. We're talking like hundreds of dollars for one bottle of perfume, each bottle, hundreds of dollars. And subhanAllah, you know, this brother purchased these perfumes, and then the most expensive one was the one that he purchased for me. And I was just felt really bad, but he was like, no. And that's where he told me what he told me. He's like, I want people to smell that perfume. I want them to be happy when they come and see you. I want them to remember you by that scent. And subhanAllah, you know, it's just, even if I was to never wear that perfume ever, which is not true, I wear it almost every single Friday. Those of you who meet me on Fridays in the masjid, that's the perfume that I'm wearing, right? It's actually called Blue Oud, right? So subhanAllah, you know, it just makes me feel really good when I wear it. I think of him all the time. And today I knew that I was going to run into him, and I left home and I was like, gotta put on the Blue Oud. Subhanallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless every single one of us for our thoughts in doing good and khair towards others, and, you know, giving a gift of whatever kind, whatever value, whatever caliber. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as Aisha radiallahu anha says, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to accept gifts and give something in return. So who should be given preference to receive a gift? Aisha radiallahu anha said, I said to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have two neighbors. Which one of the two neighbors has more of a right to a gift from me? And which one is more deserving of receiving a gift from me? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, give to the one whose door is closest to you. Give to the one whose door is closest to you. Give to the one whose door is closest to you. So look after those who are closest to you, as in nearer, more near to you than the one that is further. Why is this important? Many of us would look at this and be like, okay, big deal. Give to the one who's closest. How many times have you gone a few kilometers, at least a few kilometers away from home to give a gift, some sort of food, a dessert item, or something nice that you prepared to a friend of yours or a family friend somewhere else, either within the same town that you live in or city that you live in or outside of it? We've done that so many times. How many times have we prioritized giving to our immediate neighbors, the ones that live right next to us? Usually we don't prioritize our nearest neighbors. We go and we give to the people who give to us, or we go and we give to the people that we know well. We go and we give to our family, which is good, right? Other family members as well. The best type of sadaqah is sadaqah that's done towards one's family. But remember, when we're talking about the neighbors, going the distance to give to someone who's 4 or 5 kilometers away from us, and if we do it 3 times a year, but we only give to our immediate neighbor 1 time a year, then something's wrong. We should be giving to our neighbors closest to us more, because they have more of a right upon us. What that means is, we may not get along with the neighbor so well. We may not be in such a nice close relationship with our immediate neighbors. And we prefer to go to our friends and give to them because they're our friends. But the neighbor who's closest to us has more of a right. The neighbor who's closest to us has more rights over our gifts, our gift, than the neighbor or the friends that are further away. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us to look after our neighbors. Ameen. Alright. It is forbidden to give preference to some of one's children over others. Okay, it's forbidden to give preference to some of our children over others. And yes, you're asking, with regards to the neighbors, does it matter whether they're Muslim or not? No, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. When it comes to neighbors, the Prophet ﷺ mentions the rights of the neighbors so passionately, so strongly, that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum were worried that the Prophet ﷺ might actually say that the neighbor gets to inherit from us when we pass away. That's how much of a right the Prophet ﷺ, or how many rights, or how much rights the neighbors were given during the time of the Prophet ﷺ. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum were worried that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would say that they get to inherit from us more than our family would. And so, yes, I know that inheritance, we look at the Muslim, the non-Muslims, there's a difference there. But it just goes to show the importance of the neighbor. And we should not downplay the fact that a neighbor may be non-Muslim. It is important for us as Muslims to show a good example to our neighbors and to give them da'wah, to invite them to Islam, or invite them to at least understand Islam. And one of the best and easiest ways to do that is to give a gift. To give gifts, right? Treat them nicely. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will, He's the one who's in charge of the hearts. And we leave it to Him. If He wills, He will guide them to Islam and the truth. All right, so like I said, the next thing we'll look at is that it's forbidden to give preference to some of our children over others. An-Nu'man ibn Bashir said, my father gave me some wealth as a gift. So his father gave him some wealth as a gift. He says, my mother, Umrah bint Ruwaha, said, I will not be satisfied until you make the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam a witness to it. As in, go and ask the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam if you are entitled to and that this gift is something you should accept from your father. So my father went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to be a witness to my gift. The witness to the gift that he received from his father. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to him, did you do that for each of your children? As in, did you give a gift like this from your wealth to all of your children? So he replied, his father replied, no. So the Prophet ﷺ told him, fear Allah and be equitable with respect to your children. Fear Allah and be equitable, as in do the same for each of your children. So my father took that gift back from me. He took the gift away from his son. In another narration, it states that the Prophet ﷺ told him, do not ask me to be witness to it, for I do not witness injustice. I do not witness injustice. The Prophet ﷺ considered that to be an injustice. You gave to one child and not to the others. And in another narration, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, he said to him, would it please you if they were equally dutiful towards you? And his father replied, certainly. So he said to him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then don't do such an act. Don't treat one or a few over the others. Make sure that you are equitable in the way that you treat your children, as in gift your children. All right, the next thing that we'll look at is that it is not permissible for anyone to take his gift back or to purchase it. So if you give someone a gift, can you take it back from the person you gave it to? And if not, then can you buy it back from them? Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, the bad similitude is not befitting for us. The one who takes back his gift is like a dog who returns to his vomit. A'udhu billah. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, the one who takes back his gift, you give someone a gift and then you take it back from them, is like a dog who returns to his vomit. What do dogs do? They vomit and then afterwards they come back and they lick up their vomit and eat it again. A'udhu billah. It's dirty, right? In another narration, Zayd ibn Aslam narrated from his father that he heard Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu an say, I gave a horse for the sake of Allah. He says, I gave a horse for the sake of Allah. The one who received it did not care for it. So I wanted to buy it back from him. I thought that he would sell it to me for a cheaper price. So I asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam about that and he said, do not buy it. Even if he's willing to give it to you for one dirham. He says, don't buy it back. Even if he's willing to give it to you for one dirham. He's willing to sell it to you for one silver coin, a horse. He says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, truly, the one who takes back what he has given in charity is like a dog who returns to his vomit. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save and protect us all. The exception to this rule, okay, there are exceptions within our deen. There are general principles and then there's exceptions as well, okay? The exception to this rule concerns what a father has given to his child, okay? What a father has given to their child. Ibn Umar and Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhum both narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, it is not allowed for a person to give something away and then take it back, except for what a father has given to his child. except for what a father has given to his child. As in the parent giving something to the child, it's your wealth, you gave it to them. And technically, the wealth of the child is the wealth of the father. Right? So when the father is in need of some wealth, they can go to their child, their son in particular, and take the wealth from them, as in take or request what is necessary for them in whatever it is that they're going through of challenging times and difficulty. They're able to take it back from their children despite having given it to them. In addition to that exception, the father from taking from the child, if the receiver of the gift returns the gift to the gift giver, it is not disapproved for the gift giver to accept it back. So if you gave someone a gift, right, and they return the gift to you, there's a difference between going and requesting to have it back and buying back, like the example of the horse that we saw earlier with Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma. Here, the person who received the gift from you is giving you a gift in return, and that gift just happens to be the gift that you gave to them. Aisha radiallahu anha narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was praying in a khamisa, right? A shirt, a garment, like a gown. And that garment had patterns on it. He looked at their patterns once, right? As in he was praying, and he looked at the patterns on the khamis, the shirt, the gown that he was wearing, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After he finished the prayer, he said, go with this qamis, right? Take this shirt, this gown, to Abu Jahm and give it back to him. And get me his woolen garment that has no pattern on it, as it distracted me in the prayer. Okay? So he received this gift and he gives the gift back to him. He gives the gift back to him. He's allowed to receive this gift in return because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was giving him a gift that so happens to be the gift that he received. The next thing we'll look at is, and I'll try to wrap up soon inshallah ta'ala, still have like 2 pages to go, but we'll go through it quickly. Whoever gave something as charity and later inherited it back, right? It is permissible to give something to someone else as sadaqah. For example, you buy your parents a home. Okay? You gift them a home, or you gift them a car. And that parent passes away. The inheritance that you will receive from them is that car, or that home, that item that you gave to them. That is permissible. Why? Because the Prophet ﷺ mentions in narration, Allah has rewarded you and returned it to you as inheritance. Right? So you gave it to someone else. Allah rewarded you for what you gave. But now Allah is returning it to you. Allah is returning it to you. You're not asking for it back. Allah is giving it to you. It's part of the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All right, government workers or workers in general who accept gifts is a kind of stealing. Basically, it's not permissible within Islam to receive gifts from what is given. Let's take this example. Abu Humayd As-Sa'idi said the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam employed a man from Azd who was called Ibn Utbiyah to collect the alms, to collect zakah. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam employed this man to collect zakah. Okay? Someone who collects zakah is employed. They are receiving a salary in order to collect the zakah. So he says, when he came back, he said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ibn al-Utbiyah says, this is for you, and this was given as a present to me. He gives the wealth that was collected of the zakah to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, says, this is for you, as in this is the zakah that I collected. But this item here, this was given to me as a gift. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stood up on his pulpit. He praised and thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then said, "What is wrong with the employee whom we sent out?" And then he comes back saying, "This is for you and this is for me? Why didn't he sit in the house of his mother and father and see if he will be given gifts or not? By the one in whose hand is my soul, no one takes anything wrongfully except that he will come on the day of resurrection and it will be on his neck. If it were a camel, he will be grunting. If it were a cow, he will be mooing. And if it were a sheep, he will be bleeding." Then he raised his hand so high. The Prophet ﷺ then raised his hand so high. Then he raised his hand so high that we could see the whiteness of his armpits. They could see the whiteness of his armpits, right? That's how high the Prophet, remember, he was on his pulpit and the people could see under his arm, right? They lived in the desert. Under his arm was not as tanned as the top of his arm. Then he raised his hand so high that we could see the whiteness of his armpits while saying three times, "Verily, haven't I conveyed the message? Verily, haven't I conveyed the message? Verily, haven't I conveyed the message?" Right? SubhanAllah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not allow us, when we're going and working for the sake of Allah, and you're receiving a salary for it, to receive a gift from the amount that's being given in return. So this is a message to especially like government workers or officials, that you are not to take from the wealth of the people because you did the job. You're already receiving a salary. Your salary is your salary. Khalas. You do some extra work, other kind of work, that's different. But to take from the zakah that people are giving to you, why? Because it leads to bribery. It leads to injustice. It leads to cheating. It leads to dishonesty. It affects the heart. And when the heart is affected by wealth, it's very hard to get it out. Okay? Al-Umrah and Al-Ruqbah. These are two things, two types of conditional gifts. Okay? Very simply, to explain what they are, Al-Umrah comes from the word meaning a lifetime. Okay? And Al-Ruqbah comes from a word implying watchfulness. So here what is mentioned, and we'll look at the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ considered the condition laid down on these types of gifts as void. He made both Al-Umrah and Al-Ruqbah as regular gifts belonging to the receiver and passed on to his or her heirs after his death without it returned to the gift giver. So Al-Umrah and Al-Ruqbah, these are two types of gifts where you say to someone, "I give you this as a gift until you die. Then it becomes mine again." No, this is not permissible. Okay, this is not permissible. You give someone a gift, it's theirs. You transfer the ownership to them. It belongs to them. And this happens in marriage, my brothers and sisters. It happens in marriage and it happens in divorce. And it happens in death as well, when someone is a widow. Right? You see these types of problems arising where people will say, "But that wealth belongs to our family. It was given to you as a gift while you were married to our brother or our son. But now that he has passed away, you have to give it back to us. Or now that you're getting divorced from him, you have to give it back to us." No. When you give a gift, you give the gift. And you transfer that ownership of the gift from you to them. They own the gift. Condition put on it. When you die, you return it to us. No. You gave it to me. And subhanAllah, I saw this very recently in an example of, subhanAllah, very sad, very, very sad example of a sister who was married to her husband for 50 years, over 50 years. And her children had bought them, her children bought her and her husband, the parents, her children bought their parents a house to live in. Once their father passed away, the children are running after the property because it has appreciated so much in value. They want the property back in their name. And they're telling their mother, now that dad has passed away, you can't stay living in this house anymore. You have to move out. You have to get your own place. And she is in her 70s, late 60s. No, in her 70s. Yeah, she's in her 70s. I think they told me she was 72 or something like that. One of the children was complaining to me saying, they're requesting the mother to move out of the house. Where is she going to go at this age? What wealth is she going to use? And they're basically saying, we bought the house. He's gone now. He died. The house belongs to us. It doesn't belong to you. You can't stay living it anymore. We want to sell the house. They want their money from the house. Can you imagine? Kicking your mother out, putting your mother on the streets. Jabir ibn Abdullah, this is the last thing that we'll take, inshaAllah ta'ala. Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-Umrah is permissible for the one to whom it was given, and Al-Ruqbah is permissible for the one to whom it was given. As in, someone says, I give you this until you die. It's permissible to receive it, and you don't get it back as the person who gave it to me. You gave it to me, khalas, it's mine. Belongs to me, my friend. You do not get it back. If I die, you don't get it back. It's permissible for me to take it and accept it, and it belongs to me now. You don't get it back. Al-Ruqba is very similar. Like I said, it's basically you're sitting there waiting. You're watching and waiting. When is this person going to die so I can get my money back? Right? So I can get my property back. So the Prophet ﷺ says it's permissible for the one to whom it was given. So it was given to me, khalas, it's not yours anymore. It's permissible for me to take, it's not yours. He also narrated that the Prophet ﷺ said, keep your wealth and do not ruin it. Truly, whoever makes an umrah gift, then it is for the one who has been given it. The person who receives the gift, it belongs to them. And he says, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says, then it is for the one who has been given it, alive and dead, and for his descendants. You as the gift giver do not receive it back because the person passed away. Simple and plain. That's all the time that we have for today. It's almost time for Maghrib. I'm going to head over to the masjid, inshaAllah ta'ala. Jazakumullahu khayran wa barakallahu feekum. Please do remember that next Sunday we will not have the class, and then the following Sunday we will conclude this chapter on business transactions, inshaAllah ta'ala, and then we'll start the chapter on oaths and vows. Okay. Yes, we explained that already, right? Lawnmower gifted to neighbors, can we borrow it for a few hours? If they lend it to you, khalas, you can use it. They're lending it to you, but it belongs to them. Okay, it belongs to them. So once again, next Sunday, we will not have the class. Jazakumullahu khairan for attending. Barakallahu feekum. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Wa jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.